الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين.
All praises due to Allah, who has the love to exalt and mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers in Islam, inshallah, hopefully you stick around unless you have some business to attend to. The khutbah began with mentioning that the Islamic Sharia, or what is known as the Divine Law, has been characterized with the three distinct qualities. Islamic law is different than the previous laws in three major qualities. First of which is al-baqa, continuity, existence. The second is al-umum, which is, depending on the context, either universality or encompassment. And the third one is al-kamal, perfection. Okay? And then the breakdown for these three was in the following manner. First, concerning the baqa. How do we know that this sharia will remain until the day of judgment? We know that, but there must be some evidences, which there are. One of the evidences is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the father of any of your men. Rather, he was the messenger of Allah, wa khatam an-nabiyyin, and the seal of prophets, the final prophet. And Allah Azza wa Jal had informed us that He will not leave His creation without guidance. So if He is the final prophet, no one will come after Him. That means that Sharia must remain available until the day of judgment for anyone who wants to be guided to the straight path. And the second evidence which is used is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that whoever Allah intends goodness for, He will give him understanding of the deen. He will understand Islam. Then he said, verily, I am the one who distributes, but it's Allah who gives. إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْفِي. I am only the one who distributes, it's Allah who gives. Then he said, and they shall remain, my ummah shall remain upon the commandment of Allah. And they will not be harmed by all those who oppose them until the amr, the command of Allah comes, which is the day of judgment. So he mentioned this hadith that this ummah will remain upon that truth until the day of judgment. This is concerning which quality, characteristic? Baqa, baqa, yabqa, to remain, continuity, existence, availability, whatever, however you like to translate. The second characteristic of the Muslim ummah, the sharia, the divine law of Islam, is al-umum. And this could mean two different things depending on the context. If it means the audience, the invitees, then it means encompassment. That means that every human being upon earth is expected to enter into Islam. A Hindu cannot remain a Hindu after he hears about Islam. A Christian cannot remain a Christian after he hears about Islam, he or she. And the list goes on. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, Allahu yad'u ila dar al-salam. Allah invites everyone. It says invites, it doesn't mention who. But we understand from the context, to the dar al-salam, Jannah, right? The abode of peace. And it doesn't mention who is being invited. Okay? So if I say, I'm inviting you to a wedding, that means everybody's invited. If I would say, I'm inviting those who are between 30 and 40 years old, then I'm limiting the invites to a particular group. So once you make it general, everyone is included. This is the first, the part of the ayah. The second part, وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And Allah guides whomever He wills to the straight path. So then the ulama divided the ummah into two, by the way. The ummah of ijabah and the ummah of da'wah. The ummah of da'wah is everyone who's being invited. Whether they accept Islam or not, they are part of the ummah of those who are supposed to receive the message and accept the message. But the ummah of ijaba, those who responded, are alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, us, right? The Muslims, those who responded to that invitation. Because you were given Islam, even if you were born into Islam, you could have left it, right? You could have become 18 years old, said, hey, I don't like this religion, I don't want to pray anymore, I don't want Islam. You can become a Buddhist, Hindu, whatever you want. But you didn't do that. You remained in Islam, alhamdulillah, or you were non-Muslim, among the Ummah who responded and not among the Ummah who simply heard the message. It's because of that that the Prophet ﷺ said, by the one whose my soul is in his hand, swearing by Allah, who owns his soul, none among this Ummah, the Ummah of what? Da'wah, those who are invited, whether a Jew or a Christian, hears about me and dies without accepting that which I was sent with, except that he will be among the inhabitants of the hellfire. He hears about Islam. Jew and Christian, this was the most common back then. Included are everybody else. Atheists, Hindus, Buddhists, and the communists, and the whole nine yards. Anyone who hears about Islam and does not accept Islam will be among the inhabitants of the hellfire. So then the da'wah encompasses all of the creation, jinn and ins. And it is encompassing in the sense of the content. The deen of Islam deals with everything. I forgot to quote the ayah, subhanAllah, the hadith on the minbar. The hadith of Salman, radiallahu anhu. It was said to him, did your Prophet teach you everything, even defecating, even your business bathroom? Qala ajal. He said, na'am, yes. He told us not to face the Qibla, whether defecating or urinating. He prohibited us from using our right hand while cleaning ourselves. He prohibited us from using less than 3 stones in our day and time, toilet paper. And he prohibited us from using bones. He said that this is the food for the jinn, the brothers, the mu'min jinn. So we don't use bones. Nowadays you don't use bones anyways. But back then, they didn't have toilet paper. So they used various means to clean themselves. Radiallahu anhu jami'an. So in this hadith, we understand that everything, even how to handle bathroom business, was taught in Islam. So then the sharia is encompassing, meaning there's nothing that the slaves will need until the day of judgment, except that you will find a ruling in Islam, whether directly or indirectly, right? Directly, meaning there's a particular hadith or ayah that says, do not do this. Indirectly is through analogy, where we understand a new item according to a similar one in the previous times. So we, cigarettes for example, if someone says, what's your evidence that smoking is haram? What are you going to do? You're going to find a hadith that says, do not smoke? Smoking wasn't available. So one will say that your religion doesn't encompass everything. There's no ruling in Islam about smoking. Do you agree with that? No? So there is a ruling about smoking. Allah says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ. He makes smoke for them everything that is good, and he makes haram for them everything that is no good. So we grab a cigarette, and we ask anyone, even a boy, an average man, a teenager, a doctor, an ignorant or an intellectual, educated person, cigarette, if you want to label it between good and bad, where does it fall? Bad? What do you say bad? Haram. For the Quran. So this is indirectly. So anything that the people invent until the day of judgment, we refer to some foundational principles in Islam, which guide us concerning this new invented matter. So this is the second quality, encompassment. And the last, which is the one that is relevant to the topic of this khutbah, it is Kamal. Kamal is someone's name, right, also. But Kamal in essence is perfection. Something that is perfect. And linguistically, or otherwise, perfect means perfect. If I had a glass of water and it was filled to the very top, just perfect fill. If I added something, it was spilled. It's no longer perfect. If I took out some water, it's no longer full. It's no longer perfect. So perfection means that it is exactly the way it's supposed to be. No addition, no deletion. And Islam is perfect because Allah says, this day, which was the day of Arafah, at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this day, yani that day, I have perfected your religion for you, young man, young man. Hello? Hey, barakallah khayr. I have perfected your religion for you. So Allah says, akmaltu, from kamal, I have perfected the religion. So no one can change that. People will change that. But
but they will be held accountable for the changes. It's because of that Imam Malik made his famous statement, whoever introduces something into Islam, and he perceives it as something good, because no innovator will think that he's doing something wrong, otherwise he wouldn't do it. Every innovator or every practicer of innovation believes that what he's doing is pleasing to Allah, right? A classical example is, you've seen that one before? Where did this one come from? Ask the brother who's doing it. Ya Akhi, where did you learn this from? Show me the reference in any of the books of Hadith. Anyone. I'm not stuck on Bukhari Muslim as many Muslims are. Only Bukhari Muslim. If you don't bring me from Bukhari Muslim, I don't accept. This is ignorance. The deen was not confined in Bukhari Muslim. It was in Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, and the list goes on. But the other ones, we need some verification. With Bukhari Muslim, we don't need that. That's the difference. Find me a single reference for kissing the thumbs and wiping the lids, the eyelids, or something along these lines. You will find zero. And no man will ever be able to give you an evidence except, I saw such and such do it, our Mawlana, Shaykh X told us this to do it, and so I do it. So we say, brother, he says, I'm doing this because I love the Messenger of Allah. Say, but Imam Malik said that whoever introduces something and he sees it as good, he will ultimately see it as good, otherwise he wouldn't do it. He has alleged, claimed that Allah's Messenger ﷺ betrayed us and betrayed Islam. He was treacherous because Allah said, this day I have perfected your religion for you. So whatever was not part of the religion when this ayah was revealed cannot possibly be part of the religion today. In other words, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew something, but he didn't say it. He knew this was good, but he didn't convey it to the Sahaba. So this is accusing him of betrayal. This is a huge, huge claim. Then he said, and nothing will rectify the later part of this ummah except that which rectified the earlier part. Meaning we will not go back to the honor and dignity of Islam, the izzah of Islam, until we go back to what they were upon in the early generations. That's it. As long as we are innovating, dividing ourselves into sects and groups, we are this and you are that, this is our way, this is your way, we don't do this, you do this, it's like we have, everybody has his own Islam, right? This is our Islam, this is your Islam, people back home have their own Islam. As long as we have this mentality, we will never go back to the days of honor. We will remain as you see us today. Disagreement among the Muslims, disagreement with the non-Muslims, lack of security among the Muslims, troubles, poverty, disbelievers humiliating us, killing us all over the world. Why? Because of me and you. So when we do these things, it affects the whole ummah, not only us. So this is why innovations are reprehensible. They are ugly, they are disgusting, they are bad. The definition of innovation is a newly invented matter, by which the person seeks to please Allah and be near to Him. You see this definition? He doesn't mean by the innovation to be led astray, no. He means with the innovation to get nearer to Allah, to get the pleasure of Allah, to worship Allah. But the problem is that this way he is doing or she is doing is not according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is where the problem arises. And we have been commanded over and over again and warned against opposing the sunnah or introducing things into the sunnah. And the famous narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is found in Bukhari and Muslim with different wordings of the hadith, which was quoted, whoever introduces into this affair of ours something which does not belong, it didn't exist before, shall have it rejected. فَإِنَّهُ رَدْ أَيْ مَرْدُود, it will be rejected by Allah. And the other word in the hadith, whoever does an action, in one hadith, whoever introduces, the one who does the innovation, and the other one, the one who practices an innovation which he inherits from his ancestors, from his grand-grandfathers, that is not in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, shall have it rejected. So if a person was to kiss his thumbs from the day he was born until he dies, Allah will not accept one because it is not from the sunnah. Not only that, this love him if he knows. If he doesn't know, alhamdulillah, he's ignorant and Allah is merciful, and until he is notified, his affair is to Allah. The deed will not be accepted, but he will not be sinful because he doesn't know. But once he knows, and there are brothers whom I personally advised, and they continue to do it, right? Once they know, they cannot provide an evidence that they continue to do it, wallahi, this will keep them further away from Allah. They want to get near to Allah, and they are automatically being driven away. Because Allah says in the Quran, in a rhetorical question, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُ لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Do they have partners? Do they have partners which legislate for them in the deen of Allah, that which Allah did not permit? Do we have other people teaching us from the deen of Allah, that which He did not allow? So Allah criticized the people for this idea, that we will accept something that is not found in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second narration, which is relevant to this topic, is the famous hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu wa arda, whereby he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us. He admonished us. Such a strong admonition that our hearts trembled and our eyes shed tears. So we said, O Messenger of Allah, it is as if you are bidding farewell, as if you are leaving us, as if you're going away. The way he was advising them was a strong reminder. So they said, فَأَوْصِنَا, give us an advice. What did he advise them? In this sensitive point, knowing the Sahaba will be all ears, huh? They're already affected, their hearts are soft, their eyes are crying. This is the time to deliver the information that would be beneficial until the Day of Judgment. What does he say at this critical time? I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. That's the number one thing. The number one thing is taqwa of Allah. وَالسَّمَعْ وَاللَّهِ, and that you listen and you obey. Even if the one in charge of you is an Abyssinian slave, it doesn't matter who the ruler is, right? You must listen and obey. As long as you are not commanded to disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, whoever will live amongst you, who? The Sahaba, not us, the Sahaba, whoever lives amongst you, we are included, shall see a lot of difference, a lot of changes, things will not be the same. So what was the advice? Upon you is my sunnah. What did he say to the Sahaba? Upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. He said in one hadith, hold on to it, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. And in the other one, وَعَقْتُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِبِ, bite on it with your molar teeth. Insight, insight. Bite on it meaning be fierce in your adherence to the sunnah. Don't be 50-50, huh? 100% bite on it with your molar teeth. Then he said, subhanAllah, woe to you. Threat from the Messenger of Allah, woe to you from introducing anything into this deen. Because every newly introduced matter is an innovation and every innovation is misguidance. With that said, no one can come and say that bid'ah is good bid'ah and bad bid'ah. Good bid'ah and evil bid'ah. Because he said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَ. Every bid'ah is misguidance. And we quoted the ayah which explains the word kul. Kul, everyone. Kullu man alayha fan. Everyone upon earth, everyone in the creation will perish except Allah Azza wa Jal. Everyone with no exception. So he said, every innovation is misguidance. Can someone come after that and say, excuse me, I would like to divide it into good and bad? La wallah. And whoever has done that among the ulama has made a mistake. Has made a mistake. No one is perfect. But we don't go against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said every innovation is misguidance. So this we need to understand, because every practicer of innovation uses as an excuse this hadith or this understanding, not even hadith, this understanding that, akhi, this is good bid'ah. This is good bid'ah, why are you complaining? Huh? So there's no such thing as good bid'ah, because the Messenger of Allah did not divide it. Ibn Umar understood that. He used to say, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَلَوْ رَآهَا النَّاسُ حَسَنًا. He says, every innovation is misguidance, even if the people see it as something good. Ibn Mas'ud used to say, اتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. Follow and do not innovate, you've been sufficed. You have plenty of sunnah, that you don't need any innovations. So then this was the third the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, it is its continuity, existence, availability until the Day of Judgment. Second, it encompasses everything, all the creation of Allah, jinn and ins, and it encompasses all aspects of life. And lastly, it is perfect. So we must believe that it is perfect. And we must act upon this perfection. And we must stick to the Sunnah strictly to the best of our ability. Do not do anything until you have evidence that this is sahih. You cannot worship Allah on speculation, on assumptions, or on a statement of fulan and fulan, X person and Y person. You cannot do that. Islam is haram. Haram for someone to say, I'm going to worship Allah without being able to verify that this is something that was legislated by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Otherwise, we are imposing upon the deen that which you cannot accommodate. We are adding things which Allah did not allow to be added. And we are changing the deen of Allah. And it's because of these additions and deletions that we are suffering what we are suffering today. So my brothers in Islam, ultimately, each one of us is responsible in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Concerning this revelation, it's a test. Everything that goes on in our lives is a test from Allah. And in every examination, you either pass or you fail. Just like school, just like work, just like everywhere in the world. Either you pass or you fail. And the same thing with the deen of Allah. Every event of your life is an examination. Either you will pass by adhering to the Sunnah, or you will fail by not adhering to the Sunnah, or even worse, innovating into the Sunnah. And ultimately, if we fail all these times in this life, then we cannot expect to be in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is there anyone sitting here today who does not want to join him in Firdaus? Any one of you here does not want to be with the Messenger of Allah in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la? I got it. If you're a true Muslim, you love that. You would wish for that. But you know what? Allah made it possible. It's not impossible for one of us to be with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All we have to do is love him, and when we love him, we imitate him. That's it. It is feasible. It can be done. It is not only for the Sahaba. It is for every Muslim until the Day of Judgment. So, if we want to be with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must strictly follow his Sunnah. If we're unable to follow strictly his Sunnah, to strictly follow his Sunnah, then we should be aware of innovating. Because if we innovate, not only we will not join him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather we may go to the opposite location, which is Jahannam. Because Allah does not love those who add into his religion when he did not make it part of the religion. So then, in conclusion, we learn the Sunnah, we practice the Sunnah. Each one of us should understand that his madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the madhab of anyone else. Because whoever's madhab we are following, his madhab was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you ask Imam Shafi'i, are you Shafi'i? He's going to tell you, I'm a Shafi'i. Say, I'm following the Sunnah. He will tell you, my madhab is the madhab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm trying to guide you to it. But I'm a human being. Don't expect me to get the whole deen correct from A to Z. Otherwise, I might as well be an angel. But he's not. So because of that, our way of life is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once the evidence has been presented, it is haram on one of us to ignore the Sunnah and to follow the madhab. Wallahi, it's haram. And if Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was available amongst us today, and he saw someone being presented with the Sunnah and he rejected it because of him, he may beat him. He may beat him in front of everybody else to teach the people a lesson. Because he said it many times, and his students understood it. Because this is why they did not agree with him on the whole madhab. Rather, they disagreed with him on two-thirds of the madhab. They understood that the Imam was trying to lead you to the Sunnah. But he's a human being. He didn't get it always right. You don't follow him when his opinion is in contradiction with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is haram. And we may fall under those who on the Day of Judgment will be presented. presented to the Prophet ﷺ so they may drink water from the fountain, and the angels will prevent them. And when he asks why, he will say, this is my ummah. They will say, you do not know what they introduced into this deen after you. And he will not care about them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever desires other than my sunnah, he's not of me. Whoever desires other than my sunnah, not the sunnah of any imam, his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not of me. Meaning don't expect to be with him, don't expect to be beloved by him, and don't expect to be joining him in Firdaus. So then, this blind following of madhab is something that we should terminate in our lives. There's no harm to follow a madhab, no harm. If we don't know, we don't have knowledge, and we trust Imam Abu Hanifa or others, rahmatullah ala jami'ah, and we follow them because we don't know any better, there's nothing wrong with that. But once we have been taught that the sunnah is elsewhere, then we can no longer follow the madhab. This is what it is. You may have a madhab, because you may not be able to know in every element of the deen what to choose. But once the sunnah is presented and it contradicts the madhab, this is when we have to abandon the madhab and follow the sunnah. Very easy. But we need to understand this in the right context so we may act upon it, inshallah ta'ala. This is the way of the righteous predecessors. This is the saved sect. This is the firqa najiyah. Those who will be saved, those who are successful. This is the way of our righteous predecessors whom Allah praised in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ praised in the sunnah. This was their main characteristic, that they loved the sunnah so much that whenever anything or anyone opposed the sunnah, they could not entertain him on expense of abandoning the sunnah. They could not. If we have this attitude, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, as an individual, we will be rectified, and as a community, we will be rectified, and as an ummah, we'll be rectified. Imagine if we brought all the sects of Islam today, the groups, and we told them, brothers, do you all agree that we will follow the sunnah and strictly the sunnah? And all of them willingly said yes. We will all leave this masjid with one way of life. Right? We will no longer have names and titles and divisions. We will be one. But because we don't do that, we don't agree. So we leave this masjid. Some don't even listen. Right? These are Wahhabis. We don't have to listen to that. Some don't bother. Some listen and disagree. Some have hatred in their hearts towards a Muslim brother. In the house of Allah, they hate him because he doesn't belong to their group or their sect. It's ajeeb, amazing what happened to us. This is all because of abandoning the sunnah and opening door for innovations. So the cure is, we only act upon the sunnah which we know is authentic, and we act upon it according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and we abandon all kinds of innovations. This is the cure. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us all to this understanding, not academically in theory, but in action, in practice, that we try to do this as much as we can. We all have shortcomings, and I'm the first on the list. I don't, and I'm unable to do everything of the sunnah, even though I wish to do so, but we all have shortcomings. The idea is to strive, to try our best, and to have the correct understanding, and Allah is the one who guides. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ